You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And they were very funny.
Okay.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm Leor Phillips, host of This Must Be the Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an audio interview series presented by WFPK, Independent Louisville, at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sounds, the Consequence Podcast Network. Big hello to all the subscribers. Thanks for checking out the series every week, the multiple interviews that we put out. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if you're not a subscriber, follow along with us. It's a great way to keep up with all your favorite artists and what they're up to right now. Just hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts from, including iTunes and Apple Podcasts, but also Spotify and YouTube as well. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guest, Leslie Odom Jr. Maybe you know him as the actor who played Aaron Burr in Hamilton on Broadway. Maybe you know him from his solo records. His first one, the jazz record, the Christmas album that came out a couple years ago. He is back now with his third record. It is called Mister. And it's his first album of original material. In fact, Leslie and I are going to talk about that, what the challenge was like to create something from nothing. He ended up at a songwriting camp at Skywalker Ranch. That's pretty interesting in itself right there. And it's resulted in this record that has so many great styles. We'll talk about how it all kind of pulls together and his kind of concept behind the music, which finds him both connecting his own past to present, but also connecting really classic sounds to really contemporary moments in music. And it's got a great balance, too. Up-tempo party music leveled out with some really poignant moments. There's the Mr. Tibbs audio sample that's dropped right in the middle of it, which is something, when used, usually speaks to something. And that is also the case on this Mr. record. And when you pair that with knowing that at the same time, Leslie Odom Jr. was also shooting his parts in the movie Harriet's, Well, I had to wonder, does one speak to the other? Does one part of his job speak to something with a record like this? And we'll discuss that in depth as well. And he also tells me he's going to be in the new Sopranos movie and how even that finds ties into this new album. And news on the upcoming tour. It's his very first tour that he's about to embark on. And lucky for him, it's going to be behind a really strong album. Talking about the record called Mister, it's Kyle Meredith with Leslie Odom Jr.
I'm good, Kyle. How you doing?
Congratulations on this excellent album, Mister. It has been so much fun to listen to this record. You knocked it out of the park.
Oh, I really appreciate that. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's billed as, you know, your first album of original material. And what was the different challenge for you this time around? You know, more than just obviously I had to write the songs. Like, what was really different about this process this time?
All of the albums have presented such unique little challenges. I'm almost afraid to say I'm excited to see what the next album, you know, presents. But, you know, the first one, you know, those jazz standards, trying to make them feel vital and contemporary and fresh was the challenge. The Christmas album was like a tricky one, you know, if you will believe it, because, you know, though the thing about Christmas music is that it needs to sound sincere, you know, it really needs to feel and sound honest. And so, you know, we've been singing Christmas music our whole life, but you go into a booth and you try to record one and you listen back and you're like, yeah, that I can hear the cynicism or I can hear the, you know, like the half-assedness. But this one, it was just, like a lot of these songs started as journal entries, you know, so they were incredibly personal. And I didn't make it alone, you know, because I think, you know, there's some singer-songwriters, you know, who, if you can make an album top to bottom in your bedroom by yourself, you might have a few less challenges than I did, you know, on this one. But it was trying to do this extremely personal thing in a very collaborative way, because I had a big, you know, I had a big team of producers and collaborators. And so it's trying to get everybody on the same page. We got there eventually, but it's not the most comfortable journey getting there always. But I often think that tension, you know, you can make great art out of that tension.
And as part of the story goes, and I think that the name Skywalker Ranch jumps out at a lot of people, you went for a songwriting camp. What tools would you say you were lacking, and what did you pick up from that?
I really needed help organizing my thoughts, and I really needed help, you know, streamlining it, making these random thoughts and ideas that I'd collected over, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, you know, making that all make sense into one project. Because I didn't want to make an EP. I didn't want to just put out singles. I really wanted to make a single work, a piece of work, you know, something that spoke as one thought. And so I needed help, and I was very grateful. I called my most brilliant friends that I'd been dying to work with, and my manager called some people, and we got about 15 writers together up in San Francisco. And over the course of, it was 4 days, really, over the course of 4 days, we did all those things I just described to you. And then it was another sort of 10 or 11 months after we got the blueprint up in San Francisco. And then it was another 10 or 11 months of actually, you know, turning the blueprint into our little house that you have in your hands now.
And the cool thing about this record, there's a thread, it feels like a musical thread, but there's a lot of styles that you're touching on within that thread. Within the album, I should say. Were there any touch points musically that you were looking at to try to kind of pull it all together like that?
Yeah, it's a good question. When I signed my record deal a few years ago, I said I wanted to make the kind of music that Nat King Cole might make today. I didn't know what that meant, and I don't even know if that's what you would hear when you pick up this record, but this is what I meant by, you know, the Mister really is the representation of what I meant by that, because, you know, Nat wasn't making throwback easy listening in his time, you know, Cab Calloway, Billy Eckstine. I mean, these guys were making, you know, in a lot of cases, dance music. You know, they were making fun, popular music in their time. It sounds, you know, it sounds colored with yesteryear when we listen today, but they were trying to make contemporary pop music. So I wanted to do that. I wanted to do whatever kind of music, you know, still would have like a couch for the voice and the vocal and whatever thing could sort of support a certain kind of storytelling that you hear in those great, you know, jazz vocalists, those great vocals of our time. That's the kind of music I wanted to make. And so I think you hear that on this, but that was our inspiration. That's what got us to Mister. That's what got us to the music that you hear today.
I hadn't thought of it in the context of of Nat King Cole. And I was thinking of a remix record they put out of him a few years ago that kind of updated the sound, and it's one of my favorite albums. You know, it's hearing it like that. And I'll comment how you start this record too, because Stronger Magic, I thought, I don't know if you meant to do this purposely, and I guess this is the question, but how it starts as almost like, oh, here's a thread to my past. You know, it starts with that jazzy thing that you might know me for, and then that beat hits and everything is pushed forward.
Yeah, that's sort of the thesis of the whole project, you know, that song. I wanted to open with that tune because I felt like, you know, I felt like if you made it to the end of that tune, kind of all bets are off. You know, everything that we do after that first tune, I think, makes sense once you hear it. You know, it's like it's all contextualized by that first tune for me. And that was the other thing, the weird thing that happened, like, up in San Francisco after we'd written the songs. I mean, what I'll say is, I mean, it really came out as this really inspired thing, because like the order of the record stayed the same for 10 months. I mean, like, that never happened.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It kind of the way that it came out of us is the way that it stayed. You know, we kind of stayed true to that. There's one, the last two songs on the record are flipped. Everything else is exact. I ordered it at San Francisco after those 4 days in January, and, you know, just kind of stayed that way.
But yeah, hearing how you kind of use that in the past and the present. Of course, you got the Cab Calloway hook there and Go Crazy, which is one of the most fun songs I've heard lately. I haven't really stopped listening to that one. There's a lot of funness on here. There's also, I think, some heavier things going on. You start the song Standards using the Mr. Tibbs quote, and I don't think anybody would put that in there just for the fun of it. what was the mindset there? What was the idea?
When the title is came later, I'll say that the record was, it had a different title for a long time, and then it's such a long story about how the title changed. But, you know, once the title Mister came to me, I really didn't know where it came from, but I started to explore what that might mean to me. And I wrote down all these references that I could think of in my life of what it meant. And, you know, I just started finding all these connections and questions, really, you know, because I think if art can, my favorite art, I should say, asks questions, makes me ask questions and sort of ponder. So Mr. Tibbs was one of those, you know, was one of those references. Once I had the title, was one of those references that was at my fingertips. And, you know, I started to make those connections pretty early. And I had a whole lot more. They are hard. The rights for those things are hard to, to get your hands around. But it was, that one was essential. And so we, you know, we fought for that one.
It's so short, but it's such a powerful moment. Like, everybody knows that quote, you know? And so when that hits, you sort of understand that you're about to hear something, I guess, more poignant.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that's the way. I appreciate you saying that. It felt right to me. You know, there are connections that I'm trying to make and statements that I'm trying to make with that particular song, with the whole project. I'm being cagey about it only because I'll say this. An artist, you know, you live with this stuff for so long and you know what it means to you. But my favorite art, a lot of times I find out that it was created on the conscious and subconscious level. Mm-hmm. And so there are things in it that even I don't understand. This childhood stuff and stuff that maybe if you were on a therapist couch, you discover, oh, that's why I did that. Right. But, you know, a lot of times the most fun thing about creating this stuff is hearing from an audience what it means to them, or hearing from an audience what they hear when they listen. So I'm also super interested in that part of the process, this next phase of the journey where people hear the album and they tell me what it means.
Right. Well, I hope you don't mind me pushing you a little bit further down there, because I, you know, when I get to the song, you know, the song's at the end, you know, Remember Black, and that heads into Freedom. I don't know if I'm trying to draw a line here that isn't there, but knowing that you were also doing the movie Harriet's, if not at the same time, but around the same time, I did wonder if one informed the other, you know, in a situation like this.
Mm-hmm. Great question. It's a very strange thing how that happens, how you sort of call certain things into your life when you're ready to, you know, after I got married, it was the strangest thing. Like I started getting offered all these husbands, you know, to play all these husbands. When I had my kid, people finally started to believe that I could play a dad because I wasn't. So no, it's a weird thing how that happens. And so I do think that there are things that I'm pondering right now and things that I'm considering in my work that for some reason they're coming to me in all walks of life. I do think, so the short answer is, yeah, I do think those things inform each other. I filmed also in the smack dab in the middle of all this, I've shot the Sopranos movie. David Chase has taken the series and made a major motion picture out of it. It's about young Tony Soprano. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So James Gandolfini's son, Michael Gandolfini, plays young Tony. It's a really special thing. But that the film takes place during the Newark riots. And, you know, without giving too much away, there's themes from this record, you know, that I can relate directly to what's happening in that movie. So it's a weird thing, man, how that happens.
Well, again, I love how you've done the record. I love how it's all come together. And I point out even moments like the Joyful Messenger, how those strings and the way it all ties together. I mean, there's such cool things happening all throughout this. And you're going to be touring it, right? That's coming up, what, in the new year?
It is. It's my first tour. You know, people are looking at me like I'm insane when I say I can't wait to get on the bus. But I've never done that. I've never gone, you know, gotten on a bus and gone from city to city. So, yeah, we're excited. We're going to play small rooms around the country. You know, I've done quite a bit of performing since leaving Hamilton, a lot with symphonies and orchestras and stuff. So we're playing these beautiful halls and performing art spaces around the country. But with this record, we're going small again, and we're trying to curate really special experiences for small groups of people, you know, because we need to give ourselves time to find this show live. I have grand ideas, big ideas, but it takes time. I'll say it's probably not an accident that, you know, 3 years after leaving Hamilton, within a month of each other, Mister's released. Anthony Ramos's album just came out that I love so much. David Diggs just put out a new Clipping album that I love so much. That also happened in a really organic way, but I think that it took us all a moment to kind of clear the slate and figure out what we wanted to do next. You know, that in itself took a moment. Then it's like, well, how am I going to build that thing? And so we're kind of all coming into maturation at the same moment, which is pretty awesome.
Now, I can't wait to see one of these shows. And Leslie, thank you so much for the conversation today. Congratulations on Mister.
I really appreciate it, Kyle. Thanks.
Huge thanks. Leslie Odom Jr., the brand new album is called Mister. Also look for him in the Harriet movie and, apparently, as he said, the upcoming Sopranos movie as well. And thanks to you for checking out the episode as well. If you haven't already, I hope you do hit the subscribe button to keep up with us. We release new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Would love to keep you along for that ride there. And if you're already a subscriber, hopefully you can get inspired to give the series a rating wherever you're listening from right now. Maybe leave a review or just something in the comment box. Would love to hear from you as well. And after that, head to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter at Kyle Meredith, Facebook/Kyle Meredith. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.